Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for each and every person that's here this morning and also has tuned in on Facebook Live and online. Father God, we just thank you that you have a plan and a purpose for their life. And we thank you, Father, that they will fulfill that plan and that purpose. Father God, we thank you this morning as we go to study your word. We thank you, Father, that your word will not return void. But Father God, that that word will penetrate the hearts and the lives of each and every one of us. And help us to be doers of the word and not just hearers only. But we thank you that most of all, that we'll take the word of God that springs forth life in our life. And we thank you that we'll take that to the people who are down and out on the highways and the byways, and we'll share the love of Jesus Christ with a lost and a dying and hurting world. Father God, we thank you for revival to this nation. We thank you, Father, for revival to this generation. We thank you, Father, for signs, wonders, miracles, and healings taking place in our midst. And Father God, we thank you today. We come not in our own strength and not in our own power, not in our own ability, but your strength, your power, your ability, your might, that you be lifted up. And we thank you, Father, that you'll help me today to be able to bring forth the message that you have this morning, the message that's bringing forth on the inside of me. Help me to be able to express it in the way that you want me to express it. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that lives big on the inside of us, that leads us and guides us and shows us the way and gives us utterance to speak with all boldness the uncompromising gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, most of all, for that anointing of God, that anointing that's present, that anointing that's always present, that anointing that's there that changes us in an instant. We thank you, Father, that anointing saturates us. That anointing is all over us this morning. And Father God, we just thank you for everything you have done and everything you are doing. And Father, we thank you for Mom and Dad. We thank you there as they're getting rest and getting ready for Winter Bible Seminar. We thank you for giving them strength. And I know that they're a little tired after these crusades, but Father God, we thank you for strengthening them, for helping them, and we thank you, Father, for giving them the messages that they need to have so that at Winter Bible Seminar in a few short weeks, the people there will be blessed and you have a word for them. And Father, we just give you the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, praise God. It's a wonderful day. Amen. And I just thank you once again for giving me the opportunity to spend some time with you and to share into your lives and to pour my heart into you. And, you know, sometimes, you know, you think, you know, it's my honor and privilege to be up here and to share with you and to help you. I mean, that's, and then, you know, it's such a wonderful time as well now that through technology that we can go around the world, that right now as we speak, that there are people that are watching us in every time zone around the world, and God just blesses us. Amen. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, and you should have your Bibles, if you don't have your Bibles, doesn't matter, you probably have some kind of device, because now very few people now carry dumb phones. Most people have smartphones, and on the smartphone there is a Bible app. So if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to James chapter 1, and I'm going to read today from the New Living Translation, in James chapter 1, starting with verse number 2. Sometimes, you know, I read from the New King James, but here recently I've been reading a lot from the New Living because it's new and living, and I'm new and living. And so, no, a lot of times, you know, when you read from some modern translations, you actually get a new look to something you've already read over and over again, something that you've studied. And you know, and I don't know about you, that every time I read the word, I get something new out of it. You know, and if you're not getting something new, you need to read it more. Or maybe you need to really read. I mean, you know, there's reading and really reading. Now, I went to school. I mean, you know, I went to college. I went to Rhema as well. And there are times that we had to read a book because, you know, we had a grade. And that's when you read. And there are times whenever you had to read a book, you know, for a test and make sure that you not just read it, you actually knew what it said. And that's when you really read. You know, and sometimes we read the Bible and we should really read the Bible. Sometimes we read the Bible, but, you know, because we've got on the 1 year Bible plan and we're going to finish the Bible in 1 year and bless God, you know, we get behind but we're going to read 30 days in 1 day, you know, because we want to make sure we catch back up, you know, and sometimes that we think it's more important to get through it than to understand it. And that's not my message, but it's good. You know, And sometimes we almost treat God, you know, like we did in school. You know, we're just getting through it. But really, unless the word gets to you and through you, doesn't matter what you read. I mean, you might as well be, you know, reading, you know, hickory dickory dock. The mouse went up the clock. I mean, you know, because if you're not getting anything from it, then it's not doing you any good. But I tell you what, when you really read the Word of God, when you get into the Word of God, and you know, it's just so amazing. You know, I just think about, and you know, like I said, this is not my message either, but I just think about, especially the words of Paul. I mean, I really have get a lot from the words of Paul. And I think about, you know, this is like 2,000 years ago that Paul wrote these words. You know, really, whenever he was writing these words, and some of them from a jail cell, and some of them are from wherever, you know, he never thought that 2,000 years ago that some guy in Tulsa, Oklahoma would be still getting a lot about it, you know, a lot from his, you know, the things that he penned. But he also didn't think about people around the world, that how much of a difference it would make in their life. You know, but it can't make a difference if you're not really reading it. My grandfather always said the number one reason why people do not get their needs met is they don't read the word. They don't know the word. If you don't know the word, you can't act upon the word. And my grandfather always said, I'm a stickler for the word. You have to know what the word of God says. And if you don't know what the word of God says, then you don't know what to do whenever you're facing all kinds of obstacles, all kinds of things coming your way. Because, you know, when Jesus was tempted, what did he do? He read the word to the devil. You understand that? When he was tempted, the only thing he ever said was the word. He said, for it is written. If you don't know what's written, you can't use the word. And when you're facing your difficulties and your trials and your tribulations, if you don't know the word, if you're not really reading it, you know, a lot of people know what Brother So-and-so says, but they don't know what the word says. You know, sometimes in nothing wrong. I mean, I very much encourage you whenever you hear this message, you know, you hear any messages or whatever. First of all, I encourage you to always check in on Facebook so people know where you're at. You know, but secondly, I always encourage you to, you know, if there's something that really inspires you to put it on social media, to tweet about it or whatever. But sometimes people get more out of the tweets from Brother So-and-so than they get out of the tweets from Paul and the tweets from Jesus and the Word of God. Because you know what Paul wrote was more important than what Brother So-and-so said. You know, and what Jesus said, you know, and it's really easy in your Bible to understand what Jesus said. And of course, my Bible's all, you know, has all kinds of different colors, but you know, it's in red. So, you know, if you have, you know, you can know Jesus is talking because it's red. Now, people don't realize it. I mean, I know I see people saying, well, you know, well, that can't be true. Well, Jesus said it, you know. Anyway, let's read from James chapter 1, verse number 2, the New Living Translation says this. It says, dear brothers and sisters. First of all, you know what? I just appreciate that he's concerned about people. You know, he wasn't trying to be rude. He said, hey guys, this is what I want to tell you. I got some words for you. And he says this. He says, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Now, what he was saying is, you know, in life, you're going to have some troubles, you're going to have some trials, you're going to have some disappointments, you're going to have some adverse circumstances, you're going to have some tough times. That's just life. Life happens. And sometimes you face disappointments, sometimes you face trials, sometimes you face tests, sometimes you face all kinds of situations. But he says in here, you know, he says, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Now, if you know other translations, it says, count it all joy. You know, and many people, you know, many times that what we say is, you know, maybe we're not joyful, but we need to count it as joy. But actually, I'm rethinking what I said, what I used to think before. When I'm looking at this, it says, consider it a great opportunity for great joy. You know, and sometimes that we think about, you know, joy, it is an emotion. I mean, you know, it's, you know, sometimes, you know, there's a big game happens and you're real happy and joyful about it. In fact, it's interesting how a lot of Christians are more joyful about a big game than they are about God. And I'm not trying to get on. I get excited about big games too. Or maybe you happen to be in one of these big games in Hollywood, you know, and you're there on The Price is Right, and you know, all of a sudden it opens, and the guy says, "A new car!" You know, and you get all jumping up and down and thrilled about it. You know, people get thrilled about it, and then they lose, and they're not too thrilled anymore because they got thrilled about it before they even had a chance to even win the car. Now, it's a whole lot more thrilling after you win the car. But what's not thrilling after you win the car and find out how much you have to pay in taxes because you won that car, then you're like, man, I wasn't too thrilled anymore. Anyway, but that's not my sermon. My sermon is, you know, consider an opportunity for great joy. You know, and I started thinking about this, first of all. I started thinking about, you know, what a privilege and a pleasure, because I don't know how people that don't know God make it. You know, whenever I face difficulties and trials and adverse circumstances, I mean, if I didn't have God, I don't know how I'd make it. So it's easy to have joy because I have God. Now, you know, just to let you know, I mean, many, obviously you guys know a lot about my life. I mean, about 2 years ago at this point in time, I went in the hospital, I mean, with some kidney issues. And from that point on, it seems like the devil's hit me left and right and my family left and right, all kinds of issues. But you know what? I'm still standing. And I still have joy. But I tell you what, I've had many disappointments and many times not to be joyful. But every time I face an opportunity not to be joyful, you know, in the end, I might have some tears. And they're not tears of joy. Well, you know, there's tears and tears of joy. But you know what? Every time I have tears on the inside, something comes up on the inside, and that's the word. And I begin to think about who I am in Christ. I begin to think about, you know, this is not the end, but only the beginning. And, you know, I think about the scripture in the Old Testament about not leaning to my own understanding because I don't understand. But it's not about what I understand, it's about what I know. You know, I put my faith and my trust in God. You know, my keynote scripture in life is Mark 11, 22, have faith in God. And my faith is always in God. It doesn't matter what it looks like, and it doesn't matter what it seems like, and it doesn't matter what it feels like. You know, I'm going to keep my joy regardless. You know, and we, you know, here, we try to be pretty transparent. We try to let you know about our trials and our tribulations and things that our family, you know, is going through. And the reason we do that is not to glorify what the devil's doing. It is, you know, two reasons. You know, first of all, just like when you're going through troubles and trials, you know, we want to pray with you, but we want you to pray with us and believe with us because we're better united. United we stand, divided we fall. You know, and so sometimes, you know, I know some people are afraid to be transparent because they'll think, well, you don't have any faith. No, I have faith. That's why I'm saying it. Because I want you to stand with me because, we're, you know, it says when two or three are gathered together, touching anything, you know, we believe. And so, you know, I believe that you're my family and my friends. You know, we talk about the Rhema family, you know, whether you're in this room or whether you're online, or it doesn't matter, we're all one. And we, you know, we all join together and sing the song, you know, we're one in the family and one in the Lord, you know, and we all, we, you know, even if you're not part of what we call the Rhema family, you're part of the family of God. And you know, when we see somebody hurting, we want to be there to help them, you know, but that's one reason that we try to be transparent. Number two is we want to show you what we do when we face challenges. Why? So you know what to do. Number three is we want to show you that we get victories and you can too. We want to lead you by example. And a lot of ministers are afraid to show their weakness, you know, but when we're weak, he's strong. And you have to realize if you know he's strong, you can have joy whenever you don't feel like having joy. Because, you know, just because joy is an emotion, joy is sometimes a choice. You can choose to have joy or you can choose not to. And the reason you choose to have joy is because you look at things from a different perspective. You know, when you look at things from a problem perspective and a trial perspective, you don't have joy. All you have is sadness and trials and tribulation and all you can see is bad stuff. But whenever you begin to get away from looking at your trials and tribulations and bad stuff and start looking to Jesus, remember the Bible says to look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith?
Whenever you start looking to him, and whenever you start thinking about who you are in Christ Jesus, you know, and it's not about you, but it's about him. You know, then you begin to read the word, and where the Bible says only believe, that all things are possible to them that believe. It says the things that are impossible to man are possible with God. With God, all things are possible. You know, but most importantly, it says only believe. You know, nowhere in the word does it say that you need to figure out how to get through this trial and through this tribulation, that you need to lead yourself and guide yourself through it. It says that you need to trust in me, to believe in me. Our part is to believe. And when we believe, we can get what we were singing a few minutes ago. You know, he'll split the sea so we can walk right through it. Because, you know, whenever Moses came to the sea, it looked like there's no way. It looked like there was no way. They were at the end of the rope. They had water on one side, and they had the enemy coming from behind. But when it looked like there was no way, when it looked like there was that they were, it was all done. All of a sudden, the sea began to split. But you know what? The sea would have never split if they would have gave up. If they would have gave up, they would have died right there, standing by the water. You know, but praise God, they continued. And the sea split open. They walked right through. It closed back on Pharaoh's army. You know, and I've heard some theologians say, well, you know, it really wasn't that big a miracle. You know, that area where they crossed was a real shallow area. And then I'm thinking, well, praise God, that's awesome. And they're like, well, how's that awesome? That was a real shallow area. I mean, how hard is it to split 2 inches of water or 3 inches of water? I don't know, but how hard is it to kill all the soldiers and all the horses and 2 inches of water? That is the biggest miracle in the Bible. 2 inches of water took out all Pharaoh's army. So any way you split it, it comes up miracle. You know, and because it really comes on how do you see things? See, people see things and they're trying to say, well, there has to be an explanation. It was only 2 inches of water. But then when you look at 2 inches of water, 2 inches of water drowned the whole army. So I don't care how you want to look at it in this situation, we see a miracle. But you know what? If you'll keep looking at your situation, you'll see a miracle. Now, I'm reading, like I said, today, all my verses from the New Living Translation. And this is a verse we know from the Old Testament in Psalms chapter 37. You know, when it talks about the steps of a righteous man are ordered of God. You know, we sing the song, rejoice for the steps of a righteous man are ordered of God. You know what? I can have joy because I know that my steps are ordered of God. I know that my God is helping me walk through my situation, through my trials and tribulation. And Psalms 37:23 from the New Living says this, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their life. You know what? He is concerned of every little single detail of your life. Sometimes we, you know, think, well, we only give the big and hard things to God. No, he's concerned about every little thing of your life. Why? Because he's God. He cares. Then it says this, I like this. It says, though they stumble, they will never fall. For the Lord holds them by the hand. You know, sometimes when we face a trial, a tribulation, sometimes we stumble a little bit. Sometimes we come to a point when, we have to catch ourselves because our emotions come over us. And then that's when you have to, you know what, put emotions behind you. And decide what do you believe. Because, you know, we all can say, well, you know, we're not moved by what we see, but what we believe. Well, it's one thing to say it, another thing to do it. You know, if my steps are really ordered of God, you know, yeah, maybe I have some stumbling places. You know, when I think about counting all joy, you know, there are some times where I feel like I'm being knocked down. But when I was a kid, we played with a toy called a Weeble. Anyone remember the toys called the Weeble? They actually had newer Weebles out. And I'm not talking about the little rodent or whatever insect that gets in the cotton and different things. I'm talking about Weeble the toy. And anyone remember the Weeble? The whole Weeble family: Mama Weeble, Daddy Weeble, Johnny Weeble, Sally Weeble, Boggy Weeble. But if you remember the commercial, the whole tagline, and it's on YouTube if you want to see it: Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. You know what? Sometimes you might be wobbling, but if you're grounded in the Word of God, you're not going to fall down. You know, and when you push a Weeble over, it might tip over for a second, but it pops right back up. You know, and that's kind of how we need to do. You know, sometimes we might tip over, but as soon as we tip over, the Word of God needs to come right through us. And all of a sudden, you know, we begin to remember who we are in Christ Jesus. We begin to understand that we're victorious, that we're the head, not the tail, that we're above and not beneath. That in all things that He's caused us to triumph. You know, if He caused you to triumph, you're the winner, not a loser. You know, and so, but you can never win with a losing mentality. Now, see, you know, let me get there in a minute. All right. You know, here in James, it says to count it all joy. But I want to read from Philippians chapter 4, verse number 4. This is Apostle Paul talking, and I'm going to read what he said. Then I'm going to read what he said to the Thessalonians too. But Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, he says, "Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice." Now, have you ever dissected the word rejoice? You have re and you have joy. What does that mean? Have more joy. Now notice he says the word always. What's always mean? All the time. In everything. Always be full of joy. Now not just natural joy, but joy in the Lord. You know, then we have Nehemiah said in the Old Testament, the joy of the Lord is our strength. You know, if you're always full of joy of the Lord, that means you're always strong. Because you know who you are in Christ Jesus. Always be full of joy. But it's important because anytime people repeat themselves, they're trying to make a point. So he was telling the church in Philippians church, he was saying, "Hey guys, always be full of joy. And I want to tell you again, be full of joy or rejoice." So, you know, I think Paul thought it was pretty important to be full of joy. And we know that, but by reading over what it says in Acts, you know, it says, "Though I finish my course with joy." You know, you can't finish with your joy, your course with joy if you lose your joy along the way. You know, and I know it's real common in the Christian world, you know, to, you know, say, "Well, I've lost my joy." And we go to one of these joy services and we get our joy back. You know, but if you're losing your joy, then you're not always full of joy. So really, you're not being biblical. Losing your joy is not biblical. Now I can tell you the reason we lose your joy, and I read about it a lot, John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He comes to steal your joy, destroy your joy. He, you know, the thief is the original joy loser. Emphasis on the loser part. He wants you to lose your joy. And that's why you lose your joy, because you start looking at things from the devil's mentality instead of from God's mentality. Because if you look at God's mentality, see, the devil wants you to get preoccupied with the test, the trial, the tribulation, the disappointment, the thing that you're going through. But God wants you to be occupied with the joy in the Lord. And if you're concerned about the joy in the Lord, it's always your strength. But you know what? You don't have to find joy if you already have it. All right? Over 1 Thessalonians, it says it this way. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. once again, says always be full of joy. That means all the time. All the time, be full of joy. So, you know, when people tell you you're full of it, say, yes, sir, I'm full of joy all the time. Always full. Full of joy. So I'm full of it. All right. So see, sometimes people think they're trying to tear you down, but they're really giving a compliment. You're full of it. Yes, I'm full of joy. Then it goes on, verse 17 says this, never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances. Now, does that say be thankful when everything is going hunky-dory? Does it say only be thankful when it all looks okay? No, he says be thankful in all circumstances, every situation. You know, sometimes your circumstances don't look good. You know, but if you're really not moved by what you see, you're not really even looking at your circumstances. You're looking at your Jesus. You're remembering that you're a weeble. That you don't fall down because you know who you are in Christ Jesus. For this is God's will for you. I mean, you know, so he's trying to be important. You know, it's God's will for you to always be full of joy. So these Christians are going around losing their joy. That's not God's will. See, that should be an exception and not the rule. And that's the problem is losing our joy has become a rule and not an exception. Why? Because we're not looking from the right perspective. We're looking at things from the devil's perspective instead of God's perspective. But you know, we're supposed to know who we are in Christ Jesus. We're supposed to look at things from God's perspective. Remember he said that he'll never leave us nor forsake us? So when you're facing a test, a trial, a tribulation, you're not by yourself. You have the impossible God with you. And I don't mean impossible to get along with. I mean that he does everything that seems impossible to you is possible with him. With God, all things are possible. So what are you concerned about? See, you only lose your joy when you know there is no way. But if you know the way, the truth, and the light, you don't lose your joy. Because you're not going down because you know the end of the score. You know, so it says, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. See, that's why it's important. You have to know who you belong to. Whose team are you on? Do you realize that you're on the winning team? You know, and you have to realize that, you know, there's not going to be another draft. You know, in real life, in real sports, I mean, sometimes when you're playing pickup games or whatever, you divide up teams and you play some games and one team loses, one team wins it. Then you decide, you know, we're going to start over and redraft. We're going to pick different captains and you guys pick. And then now you're on a losing team. You were on a winning team. But you know, with God, you're always on the winning team. But you're only winning if you know who you are in Christ Jesus. Because if you don't know who you are in Christ Jesus, if you don't know your authority in Christ Jesus, you can't win. The reason you can't win is because mentally the devil takes you out of the game. Now you understand a test is preparation. All right, now, and many times, when we were traveling around the country doing different crusades or whatever, we would be in convention centers, and especially whenever you're in a convention center or hotel ballroom where you know, and so you're setting up a new sound system. You put a new sound system out there, and I don't know how many times, if I've ever been around, they've had me put my mic on, and I'll come to this podium, and I'll say, testing 1, 2, 3. Sometimes testing 1, 2, 3, 4. Test, test, test. You know, and so what am I doing? I'm testing. Now, you know, any time in production, you test before the show. You know, but you know what? You don't quit during the test. The test isn't the main part. It's the show that's the main part or the production, or in our case, it was a crusade. A lot of people are running into a test and they quit. And if you quit during the test, you're never going to see the what you really meant to see, the show. What's the show? I mean, that's the good things God has for you. And sometimes, I get it, sometimes you have tests 1, 2, 3, and 4. But it's only a test. Without a test, you can't have a testimony. So many people are quitting during tests. Now, and I don't, here's the thing, we kind of, in the sports world, it's kind of a test. I mean, it's practice. Because if you don't practice, you don't make the big game because you never get to the playoffs. There are some teams good enough to maybe win a few games without practicing. But they're not going to be champions. I've been on a few sports teams that, I'm not talking about school teams, I'm talking about recreation teams that because of our time and stuff, we just didn't practice and, it showed sometimes. Because when you practice, you're ready. Now, when it comes to the spiritual world, practicing is reading the Word, getting a hold of the Word, getting the Word on the inside, because whatever you put in comes out. Whatever you put in comes out. Like I said, if you put an orange in, when you get squeezed, you get orange juice. Put an apple in, you get squeezed, you get apple juice. When you put a Christian in and you get squeezed, what do you get? You should get Jesus juice. Or you should get the Word, because that's what's on the inside. If the Word's on the inside, the Word comes out when you get squeezed. But then you're getting squeezed and the Word's not coming out. And you begin to say words like, I'm a failure. I guess I just fail. I fail all the time. Well, you can't fail all the time if you're a winner. But see, what happens is you're letting your test stop you from getting to where God wants you to be, and that's the show. Now, here's something else. Used to, they just had practice. Now, we've developed a little bit. Now we have sports psychologists. Because they have found out that games are not just physical, they're also mental. And mentally, you have to be prepared. And I'm going to tell you something. It might be a secret you don't know. You probably do know. Next week we're going to have the Super Bowl, right? All right. Hey. And Tom Brady, once again, and like it or not, I guess he's probably earned, the title. They call him a GOAT. Not because he's ugly looking, because he's the greatest of all time. And it's not because he physically prepared. It's because he's mentally prepared that whenever he's facing a difficult time, he doesn't give up. And that's why he's able to come, it just happened last week. He brought his team back when it looked like they were going to lose. In fact, I know some people on social media already said, it's over. That interception Jacksonville made them, it's over. Some people, for whatever reason, said there's no way. And then you have to realize that Tom Brady's not Jesus, but when it comes to football, sometimes he just makes a way. There are a lot of really good quarterbacks, in the NFL, and really good quarterbacks that have played the game, and there are some of them. I'm not picking on the man, but I'm just saying. Brett Favre, and actually Romo had some of the same mentality. A lot of times they brought a lot of big games and they had comebacks, but then sometimes big games they try to force a win and they throw an interception. Tom's been pretty good about not doing that as much, especially when it's a big game. Now in the season he might throw away a couple, but when it comes down to it, he seems to win. And I don't think it's necessarily because he's physically prepared. I think mentally, because mentally you can't get out of the game. If you get out of the game mentally, and I had sports psychologists whenever I was a kid too. They're called the coach. And he would say, get your head back in the game. How many have ever heard that? Get your head back in the game. Unfortunately, the coach didn't know all kinds of psychology things to tell you. And, Tom has some different sports psychology stuff. I just had a coach tell me to get my head back, in the game, and sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. But the point is, see, he's mentally prepared that whenever he faces a test that looks like it might be a little impossible, he's mentally prepared to keep going. And, you know, if he doesn't mentally prepare, then physically it doesn't matter how much he prepared. Well, that hit me today because, you know, sometimes we're not mentally prepared and the devil hits us and we might think that we're spiritually prepared, but if we're not mentally prepared, then we don't get to the spiritual point of it because our mind goes away. Because you know what? You can't have the mind of Christ if you're losing your mind. If your mind is thinking about it doesn't look good, look at the results of that test. Look at my circumstances. You know, and we all know about the mind of Christ, but you can't have the mind of Christ. So really why a lot of Christians lose, why a lot of Christians lose their joy is because they're losing their mind. You know, they don't have the mind of Christ. They have natural mentality. You know, and I can't blame someone for thinking naturally. But what God says, you know what? There is a natural thinking. But you know what? If you believe in me, you'll see the supernatural. Now people say, well, I want to see the supernatural. But you know, if you'll trust in the Lord, you'll see the supernatural. You know, so, you know, supernatural is not always, you know, people running around, shouting, jumping, running, doing cartwheels and falling on the floor. And that's a fun service. But some of the supernatural thing is, you know what? You had a real big bill and you didn't know how you're going to get through it. It looked like, you know, you were going to lose your car. And all of a sudden, you didn't. You know, or you know, maybe you had a car and something happened and it broke down, it quit working, and you didn't know what to do, and next thing you know, you got a new car. You know, and we think about that as great blessing, but you know what? That's awesome. You know, and sometimes we don't think about that's a bigger deal than you shouting around, jumping, because, you know, I know a lot of people that run around and shout and do and fall on the floor and they go home and cry. Not because they're tears of joy, because they don't even know why they're running. They don't understand the reason you're running, because you understand that it's not about what you're going through. It's about who you are in Christ Jesus. It's about that you're victorious. It's about you can have joy. You know, some people are waiting for the morning because joy cometh in the morning. Yeah, but this says always be joyful. If you're always joyful, then you don't have to rejoice. You already have your joy. You don't have to count it as all joy because you already have joy. And so in some ways, you know, and I understand when, you know, people say, well, count it, you know, it might be joyful, but act like it's joyful. But you know what? It should be joyful because you know who you are in Christ Jesus. Because I'm full of joy. If you're full of it, you should, you know, yeah. You know, but it says in all circumstances to give thanks, to be happy. Or just simply go along with the little song, don't worry, be happy. That's pretty simple, but you know what? With God, why can't you be happy? You know, because this is a day the Lord has made, you're going to rejoice and be glad in it. You say, yeah, but I had this happen. It doesn't matter what happened today. What matters is the Lord's still here. It doesn't matter what kind of test or trial or tribulation. It doesn't matter what kind of, you know, that you got the results of a test and it didn't look good. But the Bible says we're not moved by what we see. It says all things are possible to them that believes. You know, and I get it, man. I've been there. I've been there a lot. Where you're like, man, you know, you say, well, I can't take it anymore. Well, then quit taking it and let God have it. You got to get to the point. The way you can keep your joy is to quit taking it. Sometimes you got to, you know, you can't handle it anymore because all you do is you cry and it's emotion. You have to say, you know what, God, I can't control this. I don't know what to do. But when you don't know what to do, you have to know what to do. And that say, God, you're going to have to take this. You're going to have to take this from me. You're going to have to take this burden from me. You're going to have to take this tribulation, because every time I think about it, I can't do it. But see what happens is mentally, you just break down. You know, you just can't handle it. But thank God that God can. You might not can't do it, but he can. And when you, if you know he can, and you know that you have the ability and the power to give it to him, then you can have joy because your God can. Not only he can, he will, and he is. You know, around here, the Rainbow Singers Band used to sing a song, you know, may not know how, may not know when, but he'll do it again. And again, and again, and again. You know, you might not know how, but the God doesn't say figure out how. It says only believe. You may not know when it's going to happen because it seems like it's never going to happen. It seems like there is no way out. But you know what? We serve an impossible God. With God, all things are possible. And I tell you what, if you'll mentally stay in the game, if you'll keep your same perspective, the same perspective that David had when he faced Goliath, the same perspective that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had when they walked in the fiery furnace, the same perspective that Daniel had when he was in the lion's den, the same perspective that Paul and Silas had when they were in jail at midnight. They knew who they were in Christ Jesus. They weren't going to step down. They were going to move forward because they knew that the joy of the Lord is their strength. They knew they can have joy no matter what. They knew that they might be in the fire, but the fire might be around them, but the fire didn't overtake them because the fire of God's on the inside. They knew that they might have been the lion's den, but nothing was going to happen. Because just because they're in the den, that doesn't mean lions are going to eat. You know, David might have known, hey, you know, on the outside, it looks like that you're big and I'm small and you're strong and I'm weak. And, you know, and I have a slingshot and you have a sword and you have a shield and you have armor. But I have the armor of God. And then you might not see anything on the outside, but on the inside, I'm strong. I'm strong, you know, and I know how to stand, and I know how to use my armor, you know, and because I know who I am in Christ Jesus, that my slingshot can defeat your sword. You know, or you're like Paul and Silas, and you know what, it doesn't look good, and you think they're going to kill you tomorrow, but you know what, if God has to bring an earthquake to change your circumstance, he will. You know, sometimes God needs to shake something up. Maybe he needs to shake you up. But you know what? You serve a God that loves you so much and cares about you so much and cares about every detail of your life that if you'll trust him, he'll make things happen that seem extraordinary, that seems impossible. So if you'll keep the right perspective and if you'll keep the joy, I'm going to leave you with this. How many times have you been watching TV, you know, especially now in the middle of the night? I watch TV a lot of times at night because I'm up. And all of a sudden it starts making these weird noises. And they'll say, this is only a test. This is a test of the emergency broadcast system. In the event of an actual emergency, we actually would have told you something here. But this is only a test. Anyone ever heard that? You know, not one time do I ever get upset and think, man, you know, I better go get in my basement. I better go run for protection. I always know because it's 2 a.m. And, you know, Travis Meyer's not on TV or anything like that, you know, or, you know, they're not talking about any weather situation. I was trying to watch a rerun on, you know, or Nick at Night or something like that. I don't know. I was watching or infomercial. I was trying to see if I get my teeth whiter or something. Or bleach my carpets out better or have whiter shirts or something. Or, you know, my favorite, actually be able to play golf better because I bought the Miracle Putter. You know, the one you can drive with and the one you can chip with and, you know, and, you know, and that's not all. If you order right now, we'll send you some Miracle Tees. Yes, these tees are guaranteed. Anyway, you know, so I was just watching infomercials or TV and all of a sudden, messed my TV up. Now, I have found out with you know, I have Cox and I'm watching a DVR program because I was too busy during the day to watch it. So I'm it cuts my DVR program off and shows a stinking test. It's only a test. Why am I afraid? And that's my question. It's only a test. Why are you all upset about a test? You don't get upset when your TV goes, ah, ah. For some of you that are in foreign country, you know, maybe you don't have the test or the emergency broadcast system. You know, but what we do in America, you know, so they don't really tell us anything. They just tell us it's a test. And nobody gets afraid when we hear a test on TV. But for whatever reason, when we get tests in real life, we get afraid. We're like, we lose our mind. I don't know what to do. I mean, not one time I've ever been watching my television, you know, infomercials or whatever, and that comes on, you know, and I just start freaking out. I don't ever freak out because I know it's a test. So if you just realize it's only a test, you won't freak out. Amen. Because see, it's about your perspective. You know, some people have a half full mentality. Some people have a half empty mentality. Anyone ever hear that? See, but with God, you're not half full or half empty. You're filled up, overflowing at all times. You know, you have the greater mentality. But here's the deal. Whenever you start facing a test or a trial or a tribulation, and it seems that things are trying to steal your joy and you're not being able to be joyful, what I want you to do is I want you to open your mouth. I want you to say, ah, ah. This is only a test. This is a test of the spiritual broadcast system. We're trying to figure out if you know what to do spiritually. But we want to tell you that there will never be an actual emergency if you know who you are in Christ Jesus. So we don't have to tell you anything. Just know what the Word of God says. Know who you are in Christ Jesus. And there'll never be an emergency. You only have tests. Only tests. Tests are temporal. I mean, tests are just, it's a test. It's only a test. Don't get all upset. Keep your joy. Don't lose your perspective. And I get it. The devil's trying to tell you, hey, this is not really a test. I mean, this is a real this is an issue. You know, and if you have to, you know, think about this. I mean, you know, from a natural mentality, and you know, think about last year's Super Bowl, and it seemed like what with Tom Brady with 33 points down. In the natural, he was able to overcome that. So if he can do it in the natural, think what you can do in the spiritual. If I have a guy, you know, that naturally is talented enough to come down from what seems impossible, think how much more. It's only a test. It's only a test. Don't get upset. Remember, you're a weeble. You don't fall down. You get back up. You find out who you are in Christ Jesus. You understand you're victorious. You understand, you know what? I'm going to keep the joy because I always have the joy. The joy doesn't go away. It always is there. You know, in my own life, I try to stay joyful all the time. I mean, I get it. There are some times that I have some fall down weeble times. But I mean, just like, I mean, my fall down times are very short. And I don't mean short, I mean days. I don't wait days, I wait minutes. Because I know the Word. And every time I fall down, I don't have to look for somebody else to encourage me. Because if you know the Word's on the inside, I encourage myself because all of a sudden, God brings back to remembrance scriptures that I know. You know, and I don't know how to tell you how to get there. Some people say, well, how do you do that? I don't know. Simply know the Word of God, I guess. You know what? You know, I'm so thankful for my heritage. I'm so thankful that they didn't have nursery when I was a kid, you know, and I had to go to millions of meetings all across. You know, I had to hear the Word. But because I heard the word, you know, and also, my grandfather always said many times, I'm a stickler for the Word. Know what the Word says. What does the Word say? And so, you know, one thing I know is I know what the Word says. So whenever I face any kind of trials and tribulations and circumstances, I already know what the Word says before I even, you know, had that test. Now, so the biggest issue in the whole thing, if I know what the Word says, It's keeping my head in the game mentally, knowing who I am in Christ Jesus, because the devil is trying to take us out of our game. And if it takes you out of your game mentally, then spiritually you're no good. Because you can't have faith if you don't believe. So keep the joy. And remember, this is only a test. Don't freak out. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for each and every person here. And help us to understand, you know, sometimes we face tests and trials. Help us understand it's not a big deal if we know who we are in Christ Jesus. Help us understand we can have joy in the middle of terrible circumstances, in the middle where it looks like there is no way, but we know the way, the truth, and the light. Thank you. Help us understand, you know, because sometimes we hear a sermon and we clap about it and we think it's great, but then we get to the opportunity to use that sermon and we don't know what to do. But help each and every person here and each and every person watching us online, whenever they face a test, help them, first of all, mentally know that it's only a test. And help them to understand, hey, you know what, this is a test, but I'm going to keep my joy. I'm going to remember who I am in Christ Jesus. I'm going to remember that I am the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I am victorious. I have the victory. I've already triumphed. Help them remember those things. Help them, you know, not listen to what the devil says, because he's a liar. He's a thief. He's a destroyer. But help us to understand, you know what? We're going to believe. All things are possible to them that believe. But Father God, we thank you if anyone is here this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that they won't leave this place without accepting him as Lord. If you're here this morning, you say, Craig, I don't know Jesus. So I can't put my mind on him. I can't have the mind of Christ if I don't know Christ. So if you're here today and you've never been saved and you want to, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. Or maybe you're here this morning, you say, Craig, you know, at one time I was in Father's house, but I've turned my back and I went away. I started trying to live life my own way, but I want to come home. I want to rededicate my life to God. If you're here and you say, Craig, I want to rededicate my life to God this morning, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. We want you to rededicate your life to God. We want you to remember who you are in Christ Jesus. Or maybe you're here this morning, you say, Craig, you guys talk about the infilling of the Holy Spirit and said, you know, I'm saved. I know I'm saved, but I've never been filled with the Holy Spirit. I tell you, when you're facing a test and a trial and you don't know how to pray, you can pray in your spiritual language. But if you don't have a spiritual language, you can't pray in your spiritual language. But I tell you, if you've never been filled with the Spirit, you need to be. Lift your hand. We want to pray with you right now. If you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit and you've never been filled, lift your hand across the auditorium. And we want to make sure you get that. It's an awesome experience. I don't see any hands. Father God, we thank you if anyone is here that's not saved, that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We thank you, Father, for every day sending laborers across their path. We thank you, Father, that they will come to the saving knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand up. If you're a first-time visitor, we're glad to have you this morning. And right now at this time, we will ask the connection team to take you, and they have a special gift for you. They want to tell you about what's going on here at the church. And so if you'll just follow them to that special place, and they want to be a blessing to you. Amen. Well, you know, the way we dismiss around here, the pastors go to the door, so I'm going to tell you, let the pastors go. But, you know, once again, I do want you to remember, I want you to remember this message. And next time that you're facing a test or a trial, I do this. I mean, I might be weird, but I really physically do the sound. You know, because sometimes I don't do that at the mall out loud in front of everybody or whatever, or or I'm at a restaurant eating, and then, you know, my waiter is, you know, what do you want for dinner? But sometimes I'm at my house, man, you know, and it seems like everything's just caving in, and it seems like I can't handle it anymore. And I realize, you know what, it's only a test. It's only a test. But you know what, God has caused me to triumph, amen? So, I mean, if you have to do it, just do it, all right? We had 1,730, does that say 33? I can't really read that. Watch us on Rhema TV and Facebook Live. There was 2,000 people that tuned in. You know, it's awesome that we can be a blessing all around the world. Amen? So, like I said, once again, every time you face a test, I mean, don't laugh about it. Just do it. And I tell you what, the more you do it, the more easier it will seem. I mean, you'll probably get joy just by laughing, because you'll think about me and you'll think about, you know, and then you write me, on Facebook and tell me, you said, well, I was just in my house going, because I realized I was only facing a test. Amen. That we've always already triumphed through that test. Amen. Well, they're going to sing a song and then they're going to dismiss you. I'm going to be at the south door. God bless you guys. Take care. Don't forget 6 o'clock tonight, right here. They'll be here. I'll be in Oklahoma City 6 o'clock. In Oklahoma City, I'm going to finish my series on Mark chapter 11. God bless you guys. Take care. Have a wonderful day.